You're listening to the Local Bar Podcast with your host, Chad Alexander. Come on in. We have a lot of friends we want you to meet.
Well, hello there. Running a little late this week, but you know what they say. Better late than pregnant. This is the Local Bar Podcast. I am your host, Chad Alexander, and of all the places you could be, you decided to spend some time with us today, and for that, we are so incredibly grateful. Running a little late. Let me tell you something. The holidays are nuts. It's been kind of tough grabbing a few people to come in and do the show. I've got a lot of people that are lined up, and we just haven't been able to sit down and do an interview. Thanksgiving just threw everything off. Don't worry. I've already got Christmas taken care of. But it has been a little crazy. Some people said yes, then they couldn't, then let's do it in a couple of weeks, and then yeah, I can. So I tried to cancel another one, and then they canceled on me. Just kind of a crazy couple of days. So do apologize for getting this out late. But it's a really good show, and I'm really excited about being able to talk about everything on here. And I am finally feeling better. Excuse me. Still tiny tickle still in my throat, but I think that I'm finally over whatever this funk is. What's it been, 5 weeks? So here's a lesson in procrastination, right? What did I say on the first podcast that I was thinking about waiting until I felt better? So a month and a half ago, I felt normal. Now, no. The past 5 weeks have just been awful. I think I got sick 5 times. It must have been my probably my petri dish of a daughter that goes to preschool. Oh, by the way, if your kids are sick, don't take them to school. God Almighty, because I think I've been sick because you people take your kids to school. Those of you that do that, if they're sick, just stay home. God, drives me nuts. My daughter's class apparently had something run through it because some parent decided they wanted to take their kid to school, and it apparently got everybody infected. I'll tell you an absolutely disgusting story. So my daughter and one of her little friends, same age as hers, in her class, it's my ex-wife and one of her best friends, it's her son. They were all hanging out, I think it was last Sunday, watching football, and apparently, my daughter got sick all of a sudden because whatever this funk was, it finally caught her. And the poor little thing threw up all over her friend. Well, it disgusted him so much that he threw up. And then Bryn threw up again. And then all of a sudden, my ex and her best friend just kind of walked back into the room. They go into the kitchen real quick. They walk back into the room, and there is puke all over them and everywhere. So if you've been a little sick or you've kind of been under the weather, at least be glad your friends aren't there throwing up on you. But I am finally feeling better. Thank goodness, because whatever this funk was, it had me down, and I'm glad that I'm finally back over it. So thank you for putting up with all the coughing and hacking that I've done over the past couple of weeks. I heard it. Oh my God. I knew I would hear it the other day or sometime this year. I hear it every year. And I was in a Target. Target and Walmart seem to be the places each year that I hear this. And I was walking around and I was over in the toy section looking for a little something for my daughter. And lo and behold, I hear somebody say it. Man, I just want Christmas to be over. You know, I hate hearing that. I understand that everybody's stressed, but come on. This is like one of the best times of the year. If you're just not enjoying it, go sit in your car, crank up the Christmas carols, and start just blasting them through the radio and singing at the top of your lungs for 5 minutes. I'm telling you, it's best therapy in the world. I know it's stressful. I know you got work stuff. I know you got family stuff. Your family budget goes to crap this time of year because you got to go buy that new thing, and that new thing is jacked up 300%. I understand how all this stuff goes, but man, whatever you do, don't let it ruin the season for you. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, I think any point in your life you can get caught up and you think just the completion of it takes it off of your shoulders. Listen, I got some news for you. That credit card that you're destroying, it's going to be with you all year. So understand that stress isn't necessarily going away. I understand that you got to get to this meeting and this ugly sweater party and this company Christmas party and this church Christmas party. Like, I understand that the schedule is just crazy right now. But, you know, even for the most introverted person, getting out and seeing folks and having some fun and enjoying this time of year, it's so fulfilling for your soul. You can't just let having to get that Barbie from somewhere be what really lets you down. And by the way, there's always online shopping. I don't understand why people don't do more online shopping. I get made fun of all the time because of my incredibly unhealthy love affair with Amazon. But still, I mean, it's the easiest Christmas shopping in the world. I can find anything in the world that I need. I really can online. I don't know why everybody, because a lot of you wait till the last minute. My dad does the worst thing. I don't know. I'll have to ask him. I don't know if he still does it or not. But he's got this sick tradition where he likes to go out and get one gift on Christmas Eve. He doesn't have anything planned. He doesn't, like, save something for the last minute. He just goes out and buys a little gift or whatever so he can see all the madness going on around him. That's insane to me. I get caught in the other day I got caught in a little bit of traffic. I'm like, oh, my God, this Christmas traffic is crazy. It was, like, 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. I wasn't anywhere near a mall. I don't know what I was thinking. But I don't understand why you let yourself get captured in those Christmas pitfalls. So if you're out there, if you're someone that feels like, oh my God, I just can't wait for Christmas to get over, pour yourself some eggnog. Oh, Sean and I figured this out. Pour yourself a little shot glass of eggnog. I hate eggnog, but check this out. A little shot glass of eggnog. Top it off with a little Fireball or whatever your favorite cinnamon whiskey is. And I'm telling you, it's heaven in a shot glass for a second. That will help take it away for a little bit, take a little bit of the edge off. And, of course, there's always the best part of Christmas, and that is watching National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. If you haven't done that, take the time to do that. It's the important part of this season and something that we all should make sure we're taking the time to do. So there's a homeless guy out in Colorado, $10 scratch-off ticket. The man is now $500,000 richer. That's right. Homeless man in Colorado bought a $10 scratcher and won $500,000. They looked at the news went to the homeless shelter where he stays, asked them some questions about the guy, and of course they're, you know, what you normally hear in these feel-good stories, that couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Is very giving of whatever he has, is always helping out the other homeless folks. So it's very nice to see someone get something that helps completely, not turn their life around, but just change it. And this guy, he's going to buy a home. He's going to buy some skis, because apparently that's what you do in Colorado. And he is going to try to get reunited with his daughter that he hadn't seen in over 25 years. Awesome story. Really neat. This week, and you know, it's great this time of year again with the Christmas time and all the stress that can be there to remind ourselves of these great feel good stories, and really thought it was pretty cool. The other day I'm driving around though, and the story comes to mind, and I'm thinking about how exciting it is and how we as people are so jazzed for a guy like this. I mean, it's great. It's great to hear this. Of course, I'm sure scratch-off ticket sales are through the roof right now, and homeless people taking whatever money they can to go and buy it. It's probably not the healthiest thing in the world, but you know, it's awesome. Great story. Love it. And I was kind of laughing at myself, though. I mean, here's this guy that now has all this money that's thrown at him. He's going to do his best to turn his life around. I hope he's successful. There are all kinds of traps and stuff you can get into, I'm sure. I don't know why he was homeless in the first place. Whatever his reasoning is, I'm hoping that the money gives him the chance to find people that he can surround himself with that will help him put his life where it needs to be. But I was thinking about how, you know, when we have opportunities, things that we can do to make our lives better, that we're so apprehensive that sometimes we don't, I don't know if this is the right kind of analogy here, but sometimes we don't even go and buy the scratcher. I can probably think of a better way to put that. But, I mean, you know what I mean. Like, there's there's opportunity, and we just put so many hurdles in front of us, or we don't want to move forward with it. And yeah, it's sure, I understand that it's not the same as a guy buying something and all of a sudden a boatload of cash gets thrown in his lap. But we should. Why do we look at it that way? I mean, look, your opportunities may net you more than $500,000. But for some reason, we don't want to jump into them. And here's what I think it is. I think the number one thing we do is we set up too many obstacles in front of ourselves. We get so apprehensive because we start thinking, well, it's just not the right time for me to do it. Or I do have a lot of stuff going on. Or should I risk this? And the older you get and the more kids you get and the more responsibilities you have, the more you feel like you can't do it. The truth of the matter is every single one of those reasons that you just put up as obstacles should be, or responsibilities, excuse me, should be the motivating factors of why you should try something. Yeah, I run into people all the time. I'm constantly talking this over with folks. We've talked about it a million times already on this podcast, that there are opportunities out there, but that really it's not so much that there aren't opportunities. It's the fact that people just won't take them. Yeah, I don't know if it was a Trump speech or someone was talking about something. They're talking about how the American dream was dead, right? Fine. It sounds like crazy hipster baby boomer talk. I don't really believe that, because I've never asked the American dream to be more than just a chance to go do something. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe my dream wasn't as, you know, fantasy filled as someone else's, but it was basically just, can I go out there and make a better life for myself if I really want to? I am in the middle right now of changing a major part of my life. It was something that I started looking into a couple of months ago. I have decided to bite the bullet and try this. It's a little bit of a different career path for me. I don't know if it's exactly what I want to do, but it's something that I'm going to give just a good old college try at. I mean, why not? I think that it could be something that I find to be very fun. And if anything, it introduces me to more people, and I will keep moving on down the road. The one thing that I know that I don't want to do is be stagnant. I think when you're just stagnant and complacent, I think a couple of things happen to you. I think number one, you become a boring person, so don't do it. I'm not saying if you're in a job and you've been in the same job for 25 years and you love it, that there's any reason to change that. I'm not saying, but it doesn't have to be career. There's always an opportunity to do something else with your life. Go try something. But for some reason, we just want to put it off. So why is it that this homeless man gets this scratch off? We see, I know part of it is the fact that we see the dollar bill sign there, and we think, well, if I got $500,000, I'd love to change my life. Would you? I mean, would you really? Back it down a little bit. What if you didn't win $500,000? Because you're not homeless. So what if you won $50,000? What would most of us say? Well, I'd pay off this or that or blah, blah, blah. Fantastic. Great. Amazing. So why is it that you think that any more on that behind that, you know, decimal place, if you moved it over a little bit more, that things would be that different for you? I don't want to not be realistic. Yes, there's a point to where a certain amount of money is going to change you whether you like it or not. I get that. My point, though, is I think sometimes we look at someone like that homeless guy, and we look at it with such this bright outlook and outpouring of positive emotions towards someone that gets to do that, yet we don't realize that you've got opportunities to make your life better every day. I saw something one day, and I thought it was just beautiful. It said, go out and make, I think it was, don't overlook the chance to make every day the best day of your life. That's what it was. Sorry about that. I think we forget that every day you've got the opportunity to go out and do something phenomenal. And I know I sound a little preachy here, but I just couldn't get that out of my mind the other day when I was driving around. Why is it that we do that? My guest this week is someone that I am that I've known for a little while. We've worked together before in the past for a long time, and I think the world of her. I think she's fantastic. What I think is amazing, and the reason why I want you to meet her this week, is this is someone that had just found an opportunity. Was like, I think I want to do that. So she did it. In the middle of it, all this other stuff started going on, She found herself being incredibly busy, and then all of a sudden a huge hurdle was thrown at her just about a month or so ago. What she hasn't done is given up on anything, because she realizes the opportunities that are out there. She could have just not started down the path that she's on, but that wasn't an option for her. And she is a wonderful reminder about not settling and not letting your objections get in your own way. And so I want you to meet her, and then I will chat with you on the other side. Friend of mine that I've known for a few years now. We actually worked together for a while. She is in the middle of packing to go to New York, so she's been very kind to take a few moments out and talk with us tonight. Her name is Taylor Hersey. Taylor, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fabulous.
Yeah, I'm sure. Not only that, but Taylor's also informed me that she has the world's worst headache. So if she's not an absolute cracker tonight, that's at least something. All right. So
never good.
Why are you going to New York? This is your family trip you do every year?
Yeah, well, we used to do it every year. Me, my mom, and my dad. Whenever I was a senior in college, I'd never been. And so we kind of just started it as like a little Christmas thing each year. But we haven't been in the past few years. It's my mom's 50th. So she wants to go back. Yeah, it's her birthday. And then Campbell, my niece, has never been. So we're going to take her to kind of have a little family trip.
So how old is she?
Campbell is 7. So it'll be her first time. We get to do all the fun touristy stuff. Like we've been every year for so long just to go shopping. I've never actually been to Ellis Island.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm kind of excited that my niece is going, because I get to go to Ellis Island for the first time.
Well, I've never done that. I've only been twice, and it's really just for the shopping and the downtown stuff. I've never.
Yeah.
So I don't know that either. So that's actually kind of awesome. So that's cool that you're doing that. So you are. So Taylor is. Taylor and I work together. She still works in senior health care. She is not only busy because she is going to New York in just a couple of days, but Taylor also is in the middle of doing something that I think is really cool, and she is back in school to get her MBA. How is that going so far? You are how far in? How much longer do you have left to go?
Oh, God. Wow. I didn't know we were going to talk about that. I don't know how cool that is when I'm going back to school. Sometimes I kick myself wondering what the hell I was thinking. It's going okay. I'm about to finish my first semester. The program can last like 28 months, so just over 2 years. Okay. I'm gonna try to finish it in 21.
Oh, why? Just to say you're cool and you finished it in 21, or what's the reason behind that?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. No, this is okay. It's a super lame reason. I really want to just keep this as close to a regular school year. So if I do that, I'll finish in May, and so it'll be like a regular August to May.
Gotcha.
Plus, then I get to have that really cool commencement thing on the horseshoe.
That's cool. All right. So I'll give you some points for that. What made you want to go back and get this?
Honestly, it's just kind of always been, I don't even know if you and I have ever talked about this, why I went back. It's really just always been kind of a personal thing for me. I've always been really into school and always had the idea that I was eventually going to have my PhD. Now that I'm going back for my MBA, I don't exactly know if that's going to be something that I do. But really, it was just something that I always wanted to do. I mean, I was supposed to go to grad school right out of undergrad. And then 2 weeks before, I canceled everything, canceled all my student loans. Whenever I was, I just backed out 2 weeks before just to kind of decide that I wanted to go work and see if it was something that I really wanted to do. But really, honestly, this is totally personal. Hopefully I'll get some kind of career advancement out of it, but primarily personal.
That's interesting. Now, did your parents do this, or where did this motivation come from? Was it something purely that you came across on your own? Is this something that they kind of, I don't want to say pushed you, but maybe nudged you towards?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, they always knew that I wanted to. And so I think they kind of saw that, you know, after being out of school for, I mean, what, 5.5 years or so, I was probably leaning towards never going back. You know, I mean, it's always, I had a professor warn me at that. He always told me, he knew that I wanted to go back to school and or to go get a graduate degree. And he told me, you know, I'm going to just go ahead and warn you, if you don't do it now, it's a hell of a lot harder to go back to not making any money than,
yeah,
you know, than, you know, having money and getting it up. So we were actually at a football game last fall and we were having a couple beers at Ripper Rat. And he just kind of, he actually just reminded me, hey, you remember that DMAT score that you had whenever you decided that you were going to go back to school? It expires in 2 months. So if you want to get back, now's the time to do it. Or you're going to have to completely start over from like square one, retake test, all that.
Oh,
and
wow.
Honestly, I just didn't want to. So I kind of fell into it. I kind of fell into it, kind of how I fell into senior healthcare.
Right.
Got a job. Ended up staying. Well, I wish I had more of an initiative story for you.
No. Well, it's kind of, so you've been out of school now for how long? Because I'm not going to do the thing where I ask you your age, but how long have you been out of school? What was the time period? 5.5 years. Okay. So you're and a half years out of school, rocking and rolling with your career.
Sure.
You meet me and learn what the true model of success is. So why would you ever have to go back? Because, you know, working with me is probably all the only education and business you'd ever really need. And then you just decided on some personal level that you wanted to go back. Here's the thing that I wanted to get at with you that it just kind of floors me. Like, I've got friends, I've had a couple of friends that I've been amazed at when it was time for them, they for some reason they didn't finish college. And for one person in particular that I know, it was one class. And I was so impressed when they went back to school and finished up, because it was about 4 or 5 years later, probably about the same period of time that you had. And the reason why I thought it was amazing was, number one, the commitment they had to give to it and their desire just to have that. I mean, they're already rocking and rolling. They're doing great in their career, but they just knew they always wanted that. But I've seen so many people that had that and never went back. Like, I know folks that were, you know, that are my parents' age that talk about, well, you know, I would have gone, I would have done this, you know, some weird trivia that they never finished college because of like a couple classes or so. So I do think it's amazing. My thing is, I'm floored that that personally you would find the commitment to be able to do that, because you're not in a career that dictates that you have to have it. Like, I think it's amazing that personally you're like, all right, you know, that whole time period that's gone from one to the next. I mean, think about what your professor said to you. It's really not true. You were just as ready to go back. Just the only reason you did it is just because you didn't want to take a test again. But it was like nothing for you just to turn around and say, no, I want to do this. Like, it almost doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it just has to, I mean, it's kind of a, I mean, like I said, I mean, it was a personal thing for me. It was something that I knew that I always wanted to do, just to have that extra degree. But I mean, it always comes down to marketability. You know, I mean, what if in 5 years I hate senior healthcare? What if in 5 years the economy goes in another way where senior healthcare is not where I need to be? What if, I mean, let's be real, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, sure.
But still. You know, I mean, but it's kind of like, what if, you know, I wake up one day and I don't want to do this? What if I want to work in the corporate office doing regional marketing one day, or running operations, you know, looking at everything from an operational standpoint, as opposed to sitting in a building or just selling something for the rest of my life? It was really just marketability. You know, why sell yourself short if you have the opportunity? I had the opportunity. It's here. It's staring me in the face. It'd kind of be silly to turn it down.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sure, you're right. I could probably continuously, I mean, you know, our industry is more about networking than anything. You could probably make a lot of friends and get just as many jobs, but I just never wanted to, I don't know, maybe that fear of commitment that I have just kind of is rearing its ugly head.
Well, I think that's the most interesting thing out of all of it to me, though, is that, I mean, you know, one of the things that
I think I talk about with people everywhere from maybe younger than you to just a little bit older than me is it seems like everybody in this circle is looking at where the world is. And then there's also this idea of what makes them happy. And the, and we all, even to, you know, some of us have family, some of us have kids, but even the ones that have 15 kids still have some movement there because we're in some place in our life that we may feel like we don't have it, but we do. But it's all about making the most out of the opportunity. So I think that's what I'm the most impressed with is what you just said. You looked at it and said, well, I've got the opportunity. Letting it sit and waste away isn't something that's really in your MO, though.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like it just comes, you know, you always have to be prepared. You always have to be prepared for something else. You know, you should never, I had a teacher in college, you know, tell us, you know, never drink the Kool-Aid. Yeah, I mean, we've all heard that 1,001 times. You never drink the Kool-Aid. And that's kind of really what it comes down to. I mean, what if? It's always a what if. You know, what if this happens? What if this goes wrong? What if, you know, I'm stuck at 30 years old and I need to make a career move? I really don't want to start from the bottom. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm too old to start from the bottom right now. Yeah. So why not go ahead? We have a guy in our class because we get asked this question all the time. You know, you're in a professional business program. This isn't like you went straight through. Sure. You know, it makes a little bit more sense when you go straight through because you've never been out of school. So we go to school at night. We go to school on the weekend. You know, we got a lot of stuff going on. We have families, work, other commitments, extracurriculars, everything under the sun. We get asked this question all the time. One guy, you know, that's in my class, complete industry change. Like he's in his late 40s. He wants a complete industry change. I'm sick of doing what I've been doing, and nobody's going to look at me if I don't have this.
Oh, wow.
So.
What was the hardest thing about getting started again? When I say getting started again, I mean with school. What was the hardest thing about looking, like once you'd made the decision, okay, I don't want this opportunity to go to waste. Let's get this rocket and rolling. What was the most challenging part about getting started?
I think it was just a swing, you know, just getting back in the swing of school again. The time management. You know, I mean, you and I talked about it whenever you were studying for your TCH exam. You know, I mean, it was just like remembering how to study. How to study wasn't necessarily it. It was just trying to figure out how to do it all. You know, I mean, how do you go from being at work all day long and wanting to go just crash? You know, you're on your running shoes, go for a 45-minute run, come back, make dinner and just chill out on the couch and do nothing. How do you then pour a cup of coffee, sit at the kitchen table and start studying? That was probably just getting back into that mode, because once you get into that, you don't have to do that anymore. You know, my first 7 weeks, I think I studied every night. I think I did a little bit of something every night until you realize, okay, I don't have to put this much effort into this. I mean, you still have to put the effort.
Yeah.
But, you know, you figure out where your time can last.
Right.
That was for me. I mean, I know that sounds kind of like a cheesy answer, but that's for me. I mean, it was all about time management.
No, I do. What I think is great is, number one, that would probably be the realistic issue that would be staring me in the face is getting back into that swing of what it's like in school. I mean, I'm gonna be honest, I didn't do great the first time. So having to do that now, especially with essentially less time and a lot more responsibility and a lot more riding on it, I can see that. What I think's funny,
I think I was just like scared. I mean, like I was scared to death, and I don't know why. Like I've always been really well at school. I didn't know if it was like, I think I'm going to do poorly, or I'm going to be the dumbest person in the class, or I'm going to be the youngest person in the class. You know, I mean, the average person has been out of school for like 10 years in the program, and I've only been out of school for 5, you know, like 4.5 whenever I applied. So, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of that went into it, but I mean, it was honestly just, there was just a fear of the unknown, your typical fear of the unknown. I have no idea what this program looks like. I have no idea if I'm going to be sitting here learning everything that I learned in undergrad over again, or if I'm going to be drawn into a whole new dimension.
That's funny. I was going to ask you kind of a two-part question. Number one, what was the scariest thing about starting, which you just so eloquently answered. But now, knowing what you know now, you know, once you get started, once you get going, once everything's kind of, you know, the train's going down the tracks, that's all well and good. You see your challenges, but you're already committed to it, and so you're moving forward. But fears are still there. What scares you now as far as everything that you know and what all you've been through with this program?
I mean, I think a lot of the same stuff. You know, you sit back and I don't want to become overwhelmingly stretched too thin. You know, I mean, obviously everything's going on with my mom right now. I think that's my personal fear. Whenever it comes to the program itself, I mean, once you get in, it's really just kind of a commitment you see it through. You know, I mean, the difference in being 19 years old and going to school is your parents are paying for it. You really don't have a whole lot of motivation to get this done outside of the fact you know what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You know, most people, when they go back 5-10 years later, they already want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so there's really probably, I would honestly doubt that the percentage of graduates is less than 90%. I mean, just because you, like, everybody there is there to learn. Everybody
yeah,
there is there
I
to
agree.
Better themselves.
Yeah.
It's your own commitment.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but my personal stuff is just, you know, should I be putting this on the back burner?
Sure.
You know, because, and that's the thing, like, life is always going to get in the way when you go back to school. It's one thing when you're 20 because your job is school. But
right,
now it's
sure.
like you have other things right now that are going on with you, you know, so it's kind of like, do I need to put school on the back burner in order to get life done?
You know, there's somebody out there that's listening to this right now. And when, you know, and there's something that they want to do and they want to get done, but they don't feel like they've got the chance. A lot of times whenever I speak to folks like that, and I mean, I think we're all guilty of it. But one of the things is that they seem to just put up hurdles, or they make, not that they make mountains out of molehills, but, you know, something may be a legitimate obstacle that they have to overcome. I think one of the things that you just said, that I try to remind them is there's going to be other stuff that pops up. I'm not going to say you don't have that there. There's going to be something else that comes up, and you've got to be okay with overcoming any obstacle. And you bring up your mom for the people that don't know this. And actually, I don't think a lot of people do. When if you listen to the show where we talked to Liz Barnes, and I talked about my friend who called me to let me know that her mother had breast cancer right after I'd found out that Kim had passed away, it was Taylor. So not only are you dealing with school, but you're talking about your mom. How is your mom doing so far as her cancer treatment? Where is she along with it? Is she keeping good spirits about everything?
Yeah, she's doing really, really well. Prognosis is really good, you know. It was only stage 2. Well, not that there's really a great stage in cancer,
sure.
cancer, but stage 2, we caught it really, really early, self breast exams. I'll throw a little insert in there. But she's doing awesome. You know, she's been really, really optimistic. She had a rough week last week. We are more than halfway through her first round of chemo. And then we've got one more round of chemo, and then we'll try to see what surgery options are in front of her.
Awesome.
But she's doing great. She met with the oncologist last week or 2 weeks ago, and you know, the tumor is responding really, really well to the chemo. It's actually already shrunk probably to half its size.
Oh God, really?
Yeah, I don't think I told you that yet.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it shrunk. It happened really, that's what they told her, you know, because it was such an aggressive form of cancer. It grew so quickly. The good thing about that is they said that it responds really quickly
to
chemo.
Yeah.
So, I think whenever she found it was about the size of a walnut, and now it's down to like a marble.
Holy crap. That's fantastic news. Well, awesome. Well, and I'm glad for her. I'm glad for you and your family. I know that's any step in the right direction is great, but when it's that good, I mean that's awesome. So I'm very happy to hear that. How is she excited about the New York trip?
Yeah, she's excited. She's resting up now. We had chemo Monday.
Okay.
And so she's having her bad days today, and so she's kind of sleeping up tomorrow as she goes, and she's going to get some B12 and some fluid, so hopefully she'll have the energy to kind of knock through this week. But I mean, when you get great news like that last week, she's just kind of like, it is what it is.
Sure.
You know, like, let's just, it was like, that was actually the same day that she started losing her hair. And I think that it was kind of like a little God wink. She wasn't even, I mean, obviously she was bummed, you know,
yeah.
You're bummed to
yeah.
lose your hair. My mom's got great hair.
Right.
So she was bummed about losing that, but she was like, I'm not going to let this get me down. I got such great news from the doctor.
Okay.
That's just
well, kind of
where
awesome.
She's going. I mean, she just keeps getting such great news that, you know, even your bad days, you kind of have to look on the bright side.
Right. So, all right, so you've got work going on, and you have a demanding job. I mean, it is. You have to deal with a lot. You've got a lot of stress at work, especially because of some of the fools that we both know that you work with. And I'm sure and I know they listen to the show, so they'll know who we're talking to. You've got that. You've got the stuff with your mom. You've got school. By the way, you're also running a half marathon on Saturday before you leave. All right, so when the news
you
of,
wonder why I'm single.
No,
I don't wonder, Taylor.
I've been telling you for years why you're single. I don't wonder.
Reason 452, Taylor is single.
right. When it comes to school, when it comes to all this stuff, though, I'm curious when something huge. I mean, this is not a little stress. It's a huge deal with your mom that showed up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
How did with all the stuff that you've got going on that you had to motivate yourself to get it all up and running? That extra effort when you sit down at the kitchen table at night and do a little bit more to get your projects done. All of the stuff that you've got going on. How did you deal with that stress so that all the balls that you were juggling didn't come falling down?
Well, I mean, you could have your textbook answer that, you know, everything happens for a reason and you just kind of face it head on. But in all honesty, the way that I've always, I mean, it's not probably the healthiest thing to do, but the way that I've always dealt with stress like that is honestly to bury yourself into something, you know, to bury yourself into school, bury yourself into work. And so, you know, you can become really, really productive whenever you're trying to bury yourself into something else because of something going bad. I mean, and I know that that's crazy, but that's kind of just it works out for me because then as I'm staying super busy, I can't get really upset. And then whenever I have spare time, I go home. And, you know, when you see her and she's doing so great, even though, I mean, sure, she has her bad days. I mean, it's not the coolest thing in the world to have to take her dinner and see that she's had such a horrible day and that she hasn't felt well.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's also not sitting there laying in a bed saying, "Woe is me." She's saying, "I'm resting so I can feel better tomorrow." You know, there's always a, well, this is bad now because it's going to be better later. So, you know, when you get there and you're running around going crazy and you can just kind of hang out and lay in bed with her while she's eating dinner or watch TV with her, then that's kind of the de-stressor right there.
Hmm.
In all honesty, just going back home. And I know that that's kind of weird to say that because it's like, you know, you spend all day running from the problem and then you go home and you actually run towards the problem.
Yeah.
But that's kind of always been how our family has kind of dealt with things, or at least me and my mom. My mom and I have always just kind of face things head on. Whenever somebody gets sick, we show up all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we're not the one who kind of, I mean, you know, you have other family members who kind of disconnect themselves. That's not really how we are. So you just kind of jump in feet first, head first.
Well, that's actually, I don't think that's not the answer I thought that you would say. And I'm actually really impressed and actually, That's a really cool way to look at it. I think that's very profound to think of it that way. Whenever you're pulling up your next big adventure or your next big project, don't tell me it's because you've got to deal with stress. It's just also because you just like to see how many balls you can juggle because I know how you are. But that's pretty pretty impressive to look at it that way. Well, let me say something. First of all, thank you very much for coming on and talking with us while you're packing for your half marathon and your trip to New York with your mom and dad. And so I appreciate you taking a little bit of time. Second, I'm really impressed with what you've done. You know, there are people when I get questions from listeners about the show. One of the themes that I see or that I saw over the past 2 weeks was making a change and taking on something new. For someone that seems to take on new projects all the time, and not that she doesn't complete them, but it just gives you something to do. I thought you're the great person to have come on here. I'm very proud of what you've done with school. I'm very impressed. I'm astonished in the way you've handled everything with your mom and how you've been there for your family. And I'm very proud to say that you're a friend of mine. I think you've done one heck of a job, Taylor. And again, thanks for coming on. I really do appreciate it. I hope I didn't take up too much of your time while you're packing the bags and everything.
No, you're fine. Thanks,
Todd. I'll talk to you later.
All right, see ya.
Some folks like to get away, take a holiday from the neighborhood, have a flight to Miami Beach or Hollywood. Me, I'm taking a Greyhound on the Hudson River line. I'm in a New York state of mind.
I'm so jealous of Taylor because not because she's smart and got a lot going for her and going back to school and doing all this stuff. No, I'm jealous of her because she gets good in New York City. I absolutely love New York City. I love it. Little known fact that my ex and I were sitting on our balcony one of the first few years we were married, and pretty much came to flipping a coin to deciding if we were going to move back to Columbia or if we were going to move to New York City and try that. And, man, I tell you, there's sometimes I really wished we had given New York a try. I find that city amazing. I'm always surprised whenever I come across people that say they've never been, and I so want to go with them. I just love being up there, especially at this time of year. But if for anything, because the food is so freaking good up there. Oh, my God. I know a lot of Chicago people are listening to this, but I'm telling you, the New York-style pizza is the way to go. So that's Taylor. How awesome is that? You know, I'm sorry if I sounded too preachy before at the beginning. But I just, you know, it's. I've got some friends that are dealing with it, and we all do. You all know someone right now. If it's not yourself, you've got friends that have opportunities in front of them, or they have the desire to change something in their life. But are they doing everything they can in order to do that? I mean, you look at Taylor. She does have a job that requires her to be there and to be focused constantly. I mean, she is having to help out families through very difficult situations, both emotionally and financially. Then she comes home and she has got school. She runs a lot, so she's got some, you know, ridiculous race that she's going to do the day she hops on a plane to go to New York. And now her mom. You know, the thing about her mom is what amazes me the most is in watching the way that she's taken that on. Because here's my thing. I think a lot of times, and I've been guilty of this before. I mean, hell, there's a reason why this podcast didn't start till 5 weeks ago. I've been thinking about it for years. But the idea that I have as far as what really stops us is that we wait for the timing to be perfect. Someone told me a long time ago when we were thinking about having a baby that it just wasn't right yet. Just wasn't right yet. You know, my ex and I were married when we were 24. We didn't have Bryn until we were in our early 30s. And it wasn't for any other reason, just that we just didn't feel like the time was right. And now, I thank God we have our daughter. She is absolutely fantastic, and I wouldn't change a thing about her. But someone told us one day that really kind of changed everything for us. It's like, you know, if you keep waiting for the timing to be perfect, it's never going to happen. There is no such thing as the perfect time. Think about that. Any time that you've said, man, that happened at the perfect time, you always say that in past tense. No one's ever standing on the precipice of something great and thinks, you know, it's perfect time. I'm going to take a step. No, we always look back on that. Your hindsight is what gives you that idea that it was perfect. But I bet if you went back, there was something that wasn't in place. There was something that wasn't right. You know, so it's not only the idea of getting started. It's the reality that you have to face that we learned from talking with someone like Taylor, that there are going to be obstacles. just because you start at the perfect time doesn't mean it's going to be perfect the whole way through. You know, who knew what she was going to deal with? We didn't talk a lot about work, but you heard her mention in a little bit that her company was going through a major buyout, that things were greatly and vastly changing. People don't know if they should stay with the company, if there's going to be a place for them. You know, all these kinds of things have popped up over the past month or two. You heard her talk. I mean, she was just rolling with the punches. It's just the way that it is. But it's better than sitting and being complacent and not having tried it. For any of you that are looking at trying something different, understand that that perfect time just does not exist. If it does, it exists in the past. That's how it works. Second, there are going to be other obstacles that you don't see because that's just how life works. It's the people that understand that and forge ahead anyway. Those are the ones that make a difference. Like I said, I've got quite a few friends. I've got some people that are very close to me that are not happy with their situation. I mean, heck, I'm not totally jazzed with mine either. But you've got to have faith, and you've got to take that step. And then you can't get down when the first obstacle rolls your way, especially if it happens that day. A good buddy of mine who I think a lot of is someone that works with Taylor that's going through a lot of meetings at work and doesn't know how he feels about work and is trying to make some things happen but doesn't know exactly what he's going to do or what's going to happen with this whole changeover. But one of the reasons why he struggles a little bit is because, whenever he looks to better something at work, that an obstacle pops up. It's tough, but the truth of the matter is that is your opportunity. I was talking with a sales rep one day. He's a younger sales rep. He's in his early 20s. He just started in sales. And he told me, he's like, I went into an office one day, and I've been calling on him for weeks, and everything's been fine. I haven't gotten any sales from him, but everything's been fine. And then all of a sudden, I walk in, and they are blessing me out because the piece of equipment that they have in there is screwing up. And they can't get tech support to work with them. Nobody in the office knows what's going on, and they are absolutely livid. And he's like, what am I going to do? And I'm like, you're going to thank God that happened. He was quiet on the phone for a second, and he's like, why? And I was like, because think about what you said. Everything was hunky-dory, but they weren't buying anything from you. They didn't care about who you were, but now they sure as heck care who you are. He's like, yeah, but it's not in a good way. I'm like, for now. But because something's happened, now you have the opportunity to fix something for them, and you have the chance to be a hero. It was a couple weeks later. He'd helped him out, saved him some money, as a matter of fact, with what he was doing, became the liaison between them and his company, got it done, and they switched a lot of their business over to him. Those obstacles that pop up, those bad times, may be your foothold to move up. And I worry about that with my friend. I know he gets down, and it's understandably so. But sometimes you got to look at those bad things as a chance to make them good again. It's a weird point in our life that we always are pursuing happiness, and we forget that what we say is we're pursuing it. When you were given there's there's a movie that Will Smith did. It's based off of a book. It's called The Pursuit of Happiness. I think that's what it's called. And it says that we forget, there's a line in the movie that says, where we forget that we are promised life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Maybe the fact is that we think we're supposed to have happiness. No, it's the pursuit of it. And so we look at the word happy when we really should be looking at the word in front of it, pursuit. What does that mean? You're given that opportunity to pursue happiness. So what does pursuing it encompass? Well, look at Taylor. It's opportunity, it's hard work, it's trouble, obstacles, doubt, fear, worry. That word encompasses all of that. And for some reason, we shy away from it, and we forget that that is one of the luxuries that we are afforded as Americans, as people on this planet, that we get to have that pursuit of happiness. And I'm very proud to see Taylor in the job that she's doing and the way she, and I'm going to tell you off the, you know, now that I'm not on the air with her, I'm going to tell you, she's done a great job being there for her mom and for her family. The one person that probably, let's be honest, probably has an excuse or two not to, and she hasn't shied away from that challenge and her responsibility, not only to her family but to herself. And she's a great person for me to know, and a wonderful reminder as I'm going through this change in my life that I need to be okay with pursuing. That sitting and waiting for something to happen, that's not going to do anything. But pursuing is. I mean, if anything, it makes you feel better that you're at least trying. You fail, so what? That's just part of pursuit. As part of risk, life would be pretty damn boring if you didn't have some risk involved. So for any of you that are out there this week that are having a hard time worrying about balancing things, especially this time of year, that are letting everything come crashing down on you a little bit, understand that that movement, that action, that's what we should be enjoying. That not some destination that we're going to get to, that we're going to sit back and say, this is finally it. This is exactly where I'm supposed to be. No, it's the moving towards where you're supposed to go. That's what it's all about. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you can, one of the little tricks that I'll tell you can do to feel better is surround yourself with more people that do that. They will push you. They will encourage you. They will light a fire underneath you so that you join them in their pursuit as well. And I'm going to tell you, one of the most important things you can do is surround yourself with people like Taylor or people like that aren't afraid to move the ball down the field no matter what cost. And I could not be more happy to be able to spend a little bit of time with her and introduce you to her. And I'm glad that I have people like that I surround myself with. So go out there and get them. Understand that, yes, it's a busy time of year. Don't wait for it to pass. Understand that the action, the buildup, the anticipation, all that lasts so much longer than just one Christmas day. Realize that is what you're supposed to be doing. It's the action, not the destination.
Thanks for stopping by the bar. We've picked up your tab, but if you'd like to throw the best bartenders you know a tip, head over to patreon.com/localbar and support the show. Any support is greatly appreciated. If you'd like to drop us a line, send your comments and questions to localbarmail@gmail.com. Thanks again for coming in. See you next week.
Thank you for coming by. Look forward to spending some time with you next week. I hope you have a great, great week. Wonderful weekend. And we will see you next week. Take care.